Good morning and welcome to our Monday morning chapel. This week in the church year, the week before Holy Week, is often a week that focuses on the work of Christ as our great high priest, who had to go before God on our behalf and still stands there today pleading for us. And so you'll see that reflected throughout the readings, the hymns, and the homilies and so on this week. Please note that for our hymn, following the opening prayer, the soloist will sing the first verse. You will then be invited to stand as we join to sing the second verse. Please turn then to page 167, 167 in the front part of your hymn book. And the second prayer on the page, page 167, the second prayer, let us use that as we open this week. O my crucified Lord Jesus Christ, as the patient Lamb of God, you suffered for me the most shameful death on the cross, and with your precious blood you redeemed me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil. I pray you to give me the assurance of this redemption through your word and sacraments, and to direct my heart by your Holy Spirit. Preserve me with your divine love, and hide me this day, both body and soul, in your holy wounds. Wash me from all my sins. Teach me to live a life of good works, and at the end, lead me from this world of sorrow to your eternal joy and glory. Hear me, my faithful Savior, my only comfort, hope, and life, my Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
Before the reading of our text today, we would like to offer a prayer on behalf of Don Westfall. Don Westfall from our staff is had a very severe leg injury and is undergoing surgery this morning. Let us join our hearts in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you on behalf of your servant Don, and we pray that you would guide the hands of the surgeon and those who now provide him with care, that he may be brought safely through this surgery and recover once again to serve you in full health. We commit him into your loving arms and pray this all in the name of Christ our Redeemer. Amen. Our reading for today is taken from the letter to the Hebrews, the ninth chapter, beginning with verse 19. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool, and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you." Then likewise he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood there is no remission. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. About a mile from campus, there is a butcher shop called Hilltop Meats. I go in there a couple times a year, and I've noticed that there is a back room that they try to kind of hide from everyone. But every once in a while, one of the butchers happens to come out with his long white apron, and it's just amazing how spotted and stained and gross with blood that is. There's a reason I think they hide that from us. There's a reason that slaughterhouses, likewise, are typically hidden from the population. Those of you that are hunters maybe have had to gut a deer before or something, and you get a little bit of sense of the gore of that. But a lot of people just can't handle that. We don't want to see how our hamburgers are made, is really what it comes down to. The bloody nature of slaughtering an animal and a creature is something that kind of goes against our grain. As Luther said, even the pig squeals at the slaughter. There's something repulsive about death and blood in that way. On the back of your bulletin today, if you turn that over, you will see a list of some of the blood sacrifices that were used in Old Testament worship. And you'll notice there that each one had a specific purpose. You could just glance at those. And then likewise, there was a victim that had to be executed, as life had to be taken. And then there was a portion of this that would be given, that had to be taken and given. Some were taken by the priests. Others were given back to the person offering that sacrifice. It was really quite a process. And thousands of people a day, by the time of the temple life in the New Testament, to time of Christ, by the time of temple life, there were thousands of animals being butchered every day. So it's quite a bloody mess. It's kind of hard for us to transport ourselves back into the time of Old Testament life that the author to Hebrews is describing here. When this first begins being established at the tabernacle during the great Exodus as people were coming out of Egypt. And to imagine what it was like to watch all of this. And then to think for your family of carrying a little creature with you, or possibly a large creature with you, as you went to worship God, and then watching that creature be sacrificed. And they claim that there were times there was so much blood going on as they pressed it out of the animals' bodies that they would have little buckets of it, and there was like a brigade of priests that would hand these buckets to each other and finally dump them on top of the altar. Sometimes they would take a hyssop plant, like's mentioned here, that Moses did at the initial cleansing, and dip it in that blood, kind of like a branch, and they would fling it out at people and all over things on the altar and the scroll and everything. This little flecks of blood. And this is just such a foreign concept to us. But everything was being purified by all of these rites and rituals that were done. And by the time we get to Jesus in the temple worship, one of the reasons there were money changers outside was because people, when they would come from foreign countries, had to buy these animals and creatures. The town of Bethlehem is where the lambs were often raised. And there were pens of animals inside of Jerusalem that you would come and purchase and then bring as your offering. And I always think, what was it like as a little kid to watch your mom or your dad bringing this? And maybe your father would be asked on behalf of your family to go up and put his hand on the head of the goat or his hand on the head of the lamb. And then to see the priest take a big machete and just cut the head of the goat off or the lamb and just see the thing drop right in front of you. And your dad's hand would probably get some blood on it and his clothing would get blood on it. This was a strange, bizarre ritual. But the idea was that you were transferring you and your family's guilt onto this creature. And the creature had to die. The creature now had to be sacrificed and slaughtered because that's what you deserved. That was the picture that was being put in front of the people. And this was just a part of their regular life. And these ritual sacrifices stood for various things, but it typically meant that if it were not for that animal's death, you would be cut off from knowing God and having a relationship with God. That's as simple as it came down to. The blood coming out of that lamb's neck was the thing that it would take for you to have everything right with you and a holy God up in heaven. You know, when you think about all of this and how people went through all of these and watching all of these and what it was like in temple life and everything, you think God takes our sin seriously? You think God cares about how we live our lives and what goes on in our hearts and minds and eyes and consciences, what we say and things? He sure does. He sure does. We don't always feel that way about our sin. I know how I'm tempted to think it's not a big deal here and there. It's easy to do. And man, does God ever take our evil seriously? And does he ever see it as a barrier between us and him? Now, all of this is such a foreign concept to us. But it was regular life in Old Testament ceremonial law. There are, listen to all the books where you can find in the Bible, in the Old Testament, where you can find ceremonial laws about this. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Almost as many books as you could find the life of Jesus in the Bible, you can find about all these animals that had to be sacrificed. And the reason this is such a strange foreign concept to us in the New Testament, I remember when I was a kid and I would study this, I would think, this just has nothing to do with Christianity, does it? It's so foreign, it's so odd, all of these rituals and things, but it does. And the reason is because all of these things were ultimately pointing to the one great sacrifice that our Lord Jesus would have to offer on the cross for us. And the reason that these things seem strange to you and me is because that one great sacrifice was sufficient. It took care of the problem between you and God. It took care of the issue that would have separated you from God by his one great sacrifice and his bloody offering on Calvary that all of these lambs and goats and oxen and birds were pointing to. When he finally came, there's now no longer a need for any of those. And so in the New Testament era, we're under the new covenant from God, all of that is gone. Because in Christ, who brings us those blessings through his word and sacraments, in Christ, there's no longer a need for all of these sacrifices. Listen to this words from a commentator. The Old Testament high priest entered the most holy place every year on the great day of atonement and did so year after year. But the Christ entered the presence of God once, and I love this, and with a finality never to be repeated. A finality never to be repeated. Let me give you a little illustration. Near the end of World War II, when the German army started to realize, Hitler didn't, but his generals started to realize that they were losing the battle, losing the war. And one of the generals who had been commanded to go and slaughter people in a particular city decided instead to turn around and surrender that city in order to spare all of the lives of the people there, save thousands of lives. Because of that, he was reported back to Hitler, and he was court-martialed and stripped of his command and finally executed. But his surrender that he established, it held, and thousands of people's lives were spared. What a picture for us of what Christ has come to do for us. This one great sacrifice that took care of the problem we have before God and our sin. So God invites you through his word today to spiritually take your hand and put it on the head of his son, the victim that has to be offered for your and my sin. A professor by the name of David Scare writes this. I love this. In the moment of the cross, the horizons of heaven were unzipped, and the soul of Christ was drowned by the wrath and fury of God. God just poured out his wrath onto one victim. And that's why John writes to us so comfortingly, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Whatever one is bugging your conscience the most right now, whatever one that makes you the most afraid of dying someday, and the judgment scene, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. We join in our next hymn.